everyone, and welcome to Empowering Homeschool Conversations. We are so excited to have another episode and to be wrapping up this month as we're talking about different curriculum methodologies that homeschoolers use. Because a lot of times when you start homeschooling, you're like, well, what do I do? And how do other people do it? And so that is kind of what we've been diving into this month of January, of just different these different methodologies. And tonight we're going to be talking about a literature-rich curriculum. And my guest is Tracy Gokley. Welcome, Tracy. Thank you for being here tonight.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, I am too. You've been on an episode before, but it was as like a side guest for a broadcast way when we got started. And actually next month we're celebrating our 3-year anniversary of doing this broadcast.
Oh,
I can't
believe
it's been that long. So yeah, it's been exciting. So I'm glad to have you back and to be talking about this. And if you're watching, we have viewers already popping on. Share this with somebody. If you're watching on YouTube, share the link. If you're watching on Facebook, share it. And then also we're broadcasting to Periscope. And so we just want to make sure that we have as many people in our community here, and just we're enjoying the conversation together. So also I want to thank our sponsor, The Maloney Method, and we're going to hear more from them about halfway through the broadcast, and a little bit about what they offer homeschoolers as well. So Tracy, as we are kicking off, just getting started, I would love for you to just tell us a little bit about yourself and your family, and why you have chosen to homeschool, and a little bit of that story, so just so we can get to know you.
Yeah. We live in Oregon, and my husband is a pastor here, and I am a homeschooled homeschooler, so second generation.
Yeah.
I was homeschooled from second grade all the way through, so we homeschooled from the very beginning, and so currently I have a 9th grader, a 7th grader, and a 3rd grader. A few years into the journey, we got mixed diagnoses with ADHD and some dyslexia, all just kind of mixed in there. And so that's kind of a little bit of our story.
So you have chosen a literature-rich curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
And so can you tell us about why families would choose that? And then, you know, why did you choose it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just to explain a little bit about what it would be, a literature-rich curriculum is going to use a lot of books, a lot of real books, versus a textbook approach. It includes a lot of different methods. So it could be Charlotte Mason. It could be classical. It could
Good
be kind
point.
Of a unit study.
Mm-hmm.
Even some unschooling could take a literature-rich approach. So it kind of encompasses quite a few methods. But the basis is you're using a lot of books in every subject. So for us, we'd already chosen this approach, just this idea of using these books to teach, to have discussion and conversation. All of that was important to us. Mm-hmm. And I think probably just the mix of a pastor and an English teacher. We already had a lot of books going.
Yes, exactly.
So we were already on that road before we realized any of the additional challenges to homeschooling that would come up. But what I found was that really a literature approach gave me more freedom for our particular challenges that we were facing. For one, it provides a wide range for a wide range of reading levels. It's a mix and match. So you're not limited to a graded reader. You're not limited to a graded textbook.
That's a good point.
Even within subjects. So
yeah,
you could have... Well, for my 9th grader, we pulled a picture book to help with DNA. So, you know, he's reading a picture book on Mendel, as well as, you know, some of his harder level reading. So you can mix those reading levels. You can mix genres and styles to appeal to their imagination, to appeal to their interests, and to really make it something that they can own and enjoy for themselves. So it's given me a lot of freedom in that area. One of the other reasons that I would recommend a literature approach is that it makes reading a lifestyle and not just a subject your student struggles in.
That's a really good point. Yeah.
It helps associate reading with those positive experiences because you can customize to their interests. You can cozy up on the couch. You can add their favorite food. You know, it just, you can tie that reading in with positive memories, positive experiences.
Yeah.
And then it's just part of their life. I mean, we have books in every room of the house. You just, someone's always got a book out. And that's just part of every day. It's not limited to school. It's not limited to a subject.
Right.
So that's another positive.
Yeah, I can see how that would be helpful. And just, kids can feel so confined, especially if they've got siblings who, you know, skyrocket above them, then they can start comparing. Well, I did that book just last year, but they're 5 years younger than me. And, you know, instead of, this is my book, this is your book, and we're reading on the same subject area, but yet we're reading different books and it doesn't matter.
And sometimes even shared stories. So some of the really fun things we've done is a story on various levels. So, you know, one was Gulliver's Travels, and that's available in several children's versions as well as your upper readers. And so each one had one on their level. And then we got to talk about the story all together. Or we recently, Trojan Horse was another one we did that with, where each of them had this story at an appropriate level for them, but then we all had to we got to share that experience together and that conversation. So it really builds those relationships and provides for those conversations to happen.
Definitely. Yeah, that's a really good point. You can find all those different things. I do want to remind our audience, if you're watching and you have questions or comments as we're going along, make sure you put those in the feed. If you're watching live, we'd love for you to be part of the conversation. And that's why we call it Empowering Homeschool Conversations. instead of just us conversing, which is great too. For your family, then, you chose it just because it had that flexibility. I'm assuming that's kind of what you were talking
about. The flexibility, the connection, the conversations, those were all kind of key components that we wanted to include that led us this direction.
That's great. Yeah, I know. I looked at Literature Rich, and I really saw so many positive things, and we ended up going with the unit studies with literature. So I'm glad that you point that out, that it doesn't just have to be a box set, that this is a literature program or curriculum written with literature, that you can add literature into a whole lot of other things, because we read so many good books and we kind of get stuck in that box, thinking that, well, if it's literature rich curriculum, it's something that where they're going to give me the book list and I'm going to get out this, where I tended to like to pick my own books.
I do too. My curriculum is a jumping off point.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Give me a little structure and I'll be creative the rest of the way. So
exactly.
My guest last week was the same way. She's like, I don't follow directions for recipes. How am I going to follow a curriculum? So there's hope for you if you do the same as we do. You can make it work. So what does it look like in your home then, using this literature-rich curriculum approach?
It has looked probably a little different through various stages of our lives.
That's a good point. But
some
too.
Of the things, mm-hmm. yeah, that we've kind of, our tenets, I guess, that we've kind of held to, we are very self-paced. So mm-hmm. even though I'm using a curriculum that says read this page to this page this week,
yeah,
we kind of take our own pace. And sometimes that's mm-hmm. a little faster and sometimes that's a little slower. So it's been a guide for us. And I don't read every book. So sometimes I'll cut a book to allow us to spend as long as we need to on the ones that I know are our priority. Mm-hmm. And so even just this last couple of weeks, our curriculum said, read this book in a week. And I thought, there's no way. So we stretched it to 2 weeks and cut one of the other books and thought, let's just really delve into this one rather than rush. So that's mm-hmm. been throughout, and sometimes even allowing my child to set the pace. So there was a period of time where my daughter had a lot of anxiety. So to give her a book and say, you need to have this done by, would just be very overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And so to allow her to just, here, read the book, let me know when you're done, and then we'll set up our little book chat and approach it that way. Or just to keep the literature guide pages in a separate notebook. Mm-hmm. And when she said she was done, then I would pull it out and we would do it, but not to stress out about how fast it got done. Right. And in the end, some books would take her longer than I would have thought, and some books didn't take her nearly as long as I thought it would. And so it all kind of washed in the end. And it was a really good thing for her to be able to kind of take some control in that area. So self-paced is one of the big things for us. Also,
that's great.
We've always taken a broad approach to reading. So reading does not mean that you have to sit down and hold the book and I read. Reading for us is read alouds. It's audiobooks. It's ebooks. Ebooks have a great advantage if you have a struggling reader because they can customize font size and line length and background color. And so that was really helpful for some of my kids at different points. Companion reading. That's another fun
Can you describe that?
Yes.
So people don't understand that.
So especially if I have a book that I know is going to push their reading level, we will sit down and read it together. So maybe I'll do most of the reading and then my child will read a line or two here or there. Or for instance, one of the books I did with my son was Winnie the Pooh, which was high interest, very engaging, but kind of a tricky reading level. And so he would choose certain characters and I would read all the other characters. And it changed depending on what the story was that we read. But it was really helpful for him to not have to struggle through Owl, but be able to read Piglet as we're doing the story. And so it just, again, it creates that positive experience. It's not intimidating now. It helped him work on some expression and some of those because he was really into the character voices. So just to have that broad idea of we're not limited to reading, we're not limited to a physical book. There's all of these other avenues for getting that reading done. So just keeping that a wide range of things.
And it's such a good example too. I mean, it's nice when you do have those characters that your kids relate to and you can pull that out and get them. Cause reading can be so dry and, for those that are struggling readers, it's such a laborious task, and to add some fun and some lightness into that can make them see that reading can be enjoyed, even if it is, you can't do a whole lot of it at a time.
Right.
I know. And because they get fatigued when they read, and you have to work around that with those struggling readers. So that's a great point. So what else?
Another thing, I always get a variety of options for both what they read and then how they are going to demonstrate their comprehension. And so as I mentioned before,
yes.
My curriculum is kind of my jumping off point. Mm-hmm. And then I go to the library and I search the topic and pull a bunch of books I think will be exciting mm-hmm. and kind of let them pick through that and decide what they want to read.
That's a great idea. Yes.
So again, it gives them that ownership. They've chosen mm-hmm. this book. They've chosen, in one sense, their own reading level
mm-hmm.
because I haven't assigned necessarily. There's some books I assign, mm-hmm. but then giving them some things that they can just choose for themselves.
Right.
And then how to demonstrate their own comprehension. This has been fun. And that's just allowing their own creativity. So sometimes it's been creating a board game for the book that they've read, or acting it out as a skit, or just a lot of different ways that they've kind of chosen, whether it's a display board.
Right.
I have a writer who, you know, he's going to write his own version or write a report. Mm-hmm. Or so just to let them express what they've comprehended in a variety of ways. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the traditional way, we'll sit down and we'll just talk about it. Have our chat, mm-hmm. ask the questions.
Right.
So those are kind of the things that have not changed over the years.
Yeah, that's great. That, I mean, you're kind of morphing it though as your kids go through those different stages mm-hmm. and have those struggles, which I love that when, you know, you said that, you know, we just take it at their own pace because mm-hmm. we can get so stuck in our idea of what our schedule needs to look like. And mm-hmm. it can be so stressful for our kids when we're just pushing on that schedule and we're not looking at them and what they realistically can do. And it is allowing them to learn versus allowing them to be mm-hmm. stressed and they're not learning at all and they're shutting down on us.
And sometimes I think it requires us maybe really defining for ourselves what success looks like. Do I feel successful just because I've checked the boxes off, or the fact that we've had a positive experience with this book, they've really understood it and grasped the ideas.
Right.
Is that success, even though it took mm-hmm. us 2 to 3 weeks instead of the 1 week that the curriculum said it was going to take?
Exactly. Because I want to tell all of you that have younger readers that, mm-hmm. you know, I now have 20-year-olds. And the amount of books that they read when they were that age doesn't matter now. You know, it mm-hmm. It matters that they love to read. I mean, they order books. They even my one who has really severe dyslexia orders books to read for himself because mm-hmm. he is an avid reader. And but when you instill in that and you don't push, that makes, like Tracy was talking about, is they love that process. They love to read a book. There's one in their hand, you know, like you said, mm-hmm. where everybody has their book. In the house, and they're continuing to feed themselves and learn, which is so important. We don't want them to lose that. So, yeah.
And they associate it with those positive experiences, those positive mm-hmm. memories. And it's funny to me that sometimes in the chaos of every day, I don't think things are going as well as they think they are.
Uh-huh.
'Cause I've had times where I've second-guessed myself and thought, this just mm-hmm. is not working, whether it's a read aloud and there's just chaos everywhere, you know, just interruptions and bickering. And I think, oh, this was just a total flop. And then I'll hear a few months later, remember when you were reading that book? It was so good. they don't remember it the same way I do. It was just,
yes,
to them.
Exactly.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a great point. Love that. So we're going to take a break and hear from our sponsor, and then I'm going to have Tracy come back. And also, just to let you know that we'd love to have your questions and comments about using a literature-rich curriculum. Say hi, but just put all those in the feed and we'll be able to see them. So Tracy, I'll let you take a quick break. And we're going to hear from our sponsor, Maloney Method. I'm going to put up their website here for you. It's maloneymethod.com if you're listening on the podcast, because we do turn this broadcast into a podcast. It comes out on Sundays. But Maloney Method wants you to know that children with special needs often need help learning to read, which we're talking about tonight. The best science has shown that a direct instruction program is the most effective approach. Until now, that has required a special training of teachers and or tutors. Now, a new program has been released by Maloney Method, which enables any person who is able to read to teach someone else who can't. This is because this digital reading program incorporates the direct instruction lessons into the device so that no training is required, just a determination of a correct or incorrect answer by the student. Details and free lessons are available at maloneymethod.com, and that's MaloneyMethod.com, and you'll be able to see that that link, as well as all the resources that Tracy's going to be sharing in the second half. I've got all those links already in the YouTube feed, so make sure that you check that out. But I'm going to bring Tracy back, and we're going to continue talking about using good books, literature, in your homeschooling, and so. We've talked a lot about just why we would use it and how that looks, but for struggling readers, do you have some strategies on how to do read out louds, especially? Because, you know, it's like, I remember the days in, you know, in the public school when it was your turn to read out loud. You know, like this fear came over you, and it's a little better when you're reading just with mom there, but yet there's that anxiety that I'm just not doing it as good as I can. And so how do we help our kids that have those struggles? And what do you have to share?
Specifically for a child who's doing the reading aloud, or for the mom who's doing the read aloud?
Probably both, because I mean, okay. Reading comprehension is difficult too. Because I know, you know, my one son, I didn't realize the same one that has dyslexia also has an auditory processing disorder. Mm-hmm. So yeah, things often weren't going in either, you know, mm-hmm. his ear. And I just thought, you know, oh, he's just being difficult. But no, he really couldn't understand the audiobooks or read the books. So yeah, it's difficult both ways. So whatever you have to share, love to hear it.
I would say if the child is struggling with reading aloud, the companion reading method has been really successful for us, mm-hmm. of taking that pressure off, having a really engaging book, and then just having them read small portions of it while you read with them has been a really effective way. Keep it short. I wouldn't require too much reading out loud, especially if you're just starting or if there's a particular struggle with it. And then high interest. Choose something that your kid is eager to read with you. Even joke books.
Yeah.
You don't think of that as high quality literature, but if you're looking for something for a struggling reader to read out loud,
good point.
That's a good one. We have a lot of fun with that.
And they learn inflection then of speaking.
Yes.
Because my same son with all those other issues had a speech issue as well. And I just recorded an entire joke book, and he picked up all the inflections, and he would go out into then, like when we met with relatives, he would tell them it was 101 elephant jokes. So we heard a lot of elephant jokes, but but awesome. He felt so confident because yes. he knew the inflection, he knew how to pause, because I had recorded all of that for him, uh-huh. and so all he had to do was copy, and that gave him confidence then to yeah. continue going on, you know, with, and he loves
positive reaction.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
So, yeah.
That's great advice, yeah.
So for the mom doing the read aloud, or if you have an audiobook that you're playing, mm-hmm. and I, mm-hmm. my kids are older now, but especially when they were younger, very busy, very active. There's no yeah. sitting down. I know in my mind, I created this little woman scene, you know, where everybody's piled around me on the couch.
Yeah, that did not happen.
Never.
With us
no,
either.
No. Never happened. So yeah, one of the top things that I would recommend is add food.
Yes.
Add yes. food.
Completely agree.
It makes everything a win. It creates that positive memory. It keeps their mm-hmm. mouths busy. So if you, especially if you have a talker and they tend to interrupt while you're trying to read, their mouths are full. Mm-hmm. If you have someone who's reluctant to join the read aloud or the audiobook, food's always a win. So, mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to yeah. be big. I mean, maybe you just read at mealtimes, or
mm-hmm. yeah.
maybe it's a special snack, you know, your tea and you bake something, but maybe mm-hmm. it's just pop a bag of popcorn and put it out. It doesn't have to be complicated, but mm-hmm. food is a big help.
Yeah.
Add an activity. Mm. And I usually insist that it has to be a screen-free activity. At least those are our house rules. Mm-hmm. But there's so much that they have enjoyed doing. And now it's just kind of natural. They know an audiobook is coming on. They just all kind of wander off and grab their little activity and come in.
That's great. Yeah, so, you could do sewing or, you know, a
yes,
whole bunch of different
crocheting,
things.
Crocheting, mm-hmm. yeah. But you yeah. could also drawing and sketching mm-hmm. is one they like to go to. Even Legos or Play-Doh or something, if you've got a smaller kid right. and they yeah. just, mm-hmm. you've got to play quietly, but as long as we're doing this, mm-hmm. For my older kid, he likes the extreme dot-to-dot books or those extreme mazes. Those. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're like 250 dots and you're, you need a magnifying glass.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm putting my bifocals on.
Or the metal earth crafts, which is, you know, the really intricate metal. You've got your needle nose yeah. plier and you're putting together mm-hmm. a millennial falcon and, you know, the size.
Wow.
Sticker books, those sticker, even those sticker mosaics where they're looking for the so any activity, mm-hmm. any that's kind of, they can divide their attention. It keeps those busies. They've got their hands busy. They've got their mouths busy and they can listen. Mm-hmm. And really, yeah. If you have a child with ADHD, they listen better
yes.
because mm-hmm. that busy part of their mind is such a distraction that if they don't have something to occupy it,
yeah.
all of their concentration mm-hmm. is there. So they actually
still.
Listen better.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. You might not think it, but they do. They listen a lot better if they have something mm-hmm. they're working mm-hmm. on.
Yeah.
I always, when I'm doing a read aloud or an audiobook, I try to stop earlier than I want to or than they want to. Have them begging for more.
Yes.
Don't go until you've lost
advice.
Them.
Mm-hmm.
Always stop when everybody's like, no, then it'll make it so much better when you start again.
Right. That cliffhanger at the end. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
the temptation is everybody's listening. Let's just keep going. But
that is true.
If
yes.
you wait until you've lost them, then it kind of can create some bad habits and bad attention or even maybe even a little
right.
bit of dread because they know it's going to go on forever.
Mm-hmm.
So stop earlier than you would
yeah.
want to.
That's great.
And then stop to explain and answer questions. Even pause the audiobook. So I remember I use a lot of audiobooks, especially if I want to stretch a reading level, if I want to go where I know they won't go on their own.
Mm-hmm.
In a book. And so we've listened to some harder reads. Howard Pyle's Robin Hood, that is not an easy one to listen to. The language is really complicated.
Right.
But I found that when I was, I would just pause it after a while and say, did you understand what's going on? And then I would retell, I would narrate back. Or they said, what did they say there? And I would explain it. And eventually it's kind of that immersion concept.
Yes.
By the end of the book, I was having to stop less because eventually they're used to that language and they're used to what's going on. Watership Down was another one that I would not want to have to read aloud. There's so many complicated names. I was so thankful someone else was reading it.
Right, exactly.
Such a good story. And again, there were some explanations needed, but to just stop and answer those questions as they came up, to have those conversations, because sometimes the conversations stem from pausing, from stopping the story, and allowing those questions to come up. So.
Yeah, because you can breeze right past them, and then you're not thinking about it, and then they you don't hit that subject, so you don't know. So what did you use as kind of your gauge for when we should stop? Was there certain things that you noticed about your kids, or that you would just kind of keep on your register, that, or did it just was kind of happen arbitrarily when you picked?
Yeah, I think it was probably more arbitrary of just sometimes it was probably a little of all of that. Sometimes, you know, a kid would say, what just happened? And, you know, it's time to pause.
Yep.
Or sometimes I would, you know, oh, did you catch that? That was so funny, but nobody caught it but me.
Oh.
So I would have to go back and, okay, let's look at this again.
Yeah.
So I think it was probably a mix of all of that of just gauging that and saying, okay, let's stop after a few minutes and see if everybody's following the story, watching them. Yeah.
Yeah. So I suppose, you know, at first your kids probably were like, what is she doing? But, you know, after you do that on a more regular basis, they'll get used to that. Oh yeah, well we can stop. Or I can ask a question and we can stop that instead of, we just have to listen through, you know, this is just our time to be quiet. And, but that conversation is encouraged.
Really, it does have to be trained because some of the older ones get impatient and think, oh, let's just get on with the story and say, no, this is important. You know, let's make sure everyone is enjoying this. And so there is some training involved with everybody of, this is how we respect each other, and this is how we can all share this experience.
I love that. Yeah. And I mean, as kids get older, they need to learn to have patience in it. So, so you're doing some character training at the same
right,
time. So, yeah. And so what about choosing books for struggling readers? Because I know we can go, well, yeah, I can go to the library, but is there maybe a way to go with a list at least of what I should look for? Or if I'm looking online and reserving books at the library, where can I start before we head that direction to know that these are really good books that may fit for my student?
Yeah. I go around to all these literature-rich curriculum websites and look and see what they have in there.
That's a great idea.
So a lot of it, even curriculum I'm not using, I look at their lists and say, okay, what are they reading? And that gives me ideas for things. Obviously, the curriculum I use has a list of different options for us. Sometimes, like I said, I'll just kind of Google the topic. Okay, Greeks, we're studying Greeks. What's in the library? And kind of look through from there and pick some. As far as tailoring it specifically to a struggle, a lot of times I'll look at what they are reading and enjoying themselves. What are they picking? And then I'll take that book and I'll look it up on Lexile.com and find the Lexile score for the books I know they're enjoying. And then a lot of times I can use that to search other books that they would enjoy that are kind of on that same level. And so that's a tool I will use. I'll also use it if they come to me and say, I can't figure out what's going on. This book's too hard. I'll take the book and look it up on that Lexile website because it will let me know especially if I kind of already know what their score is, because I've been looking books up, so I know, okay, my kid's kind of around this number. You can put it in and it'll tell you how much they're comprehending. So you can look at the book, type in their score, and it'll say, yeah, your child's probably comprehending 65% of this.
Oh, and wow. You're
like, oh, yeah. Okay. You're right. This one's tough. Uh-huh. So, and then maybe we'll switch to those other methods. Like maybe we'll choose the audiobook. Maybe we'll switch to the ebook. We won't necessarily toss the book. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we do. Sometimes it's just, okay, this one, we've got to take a break.
For another time.
Yeah.
Yes. For another time. We've got to wait a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, that Lexile.com website has been a real lifesaver.
Yeah. So I put all of those links, and Tracy had one for Lexile in the list she gave me. So those are in the description already on the YouTube channel if you want to look at those. But Tracy, for those people that don't know what Lexile is, mm-hmm. can you give a little description about that Lexile score and what it provides for you as a parent?
Yeah, it's a score that they've given for a book that includes more than just, okay, here's the vocabulary of the book. It takes into account a lot of different elements of comprehension. Mm-hmm. And so it takes into account the number of words, the number of difficult words, the interest. And so within that Lexile, it scores each book to say, okay, here's how much a child is likely to comprehend. But then it also can break it down into, here is a low reading level, high interest book for someone who maybe is an older kid but has reading struggles, or here's a score for someone who is a younger child, has a very high reading level, but we don't want him reading certain material.
Right, exactly.
You can kind of, there's different codes and scores that it provides to kind of give you those different categories for kids who aren't just at grade level.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't just like come as a package where all the comprehension and the reading and all of that go together, which a lot of our struggling readers don't. So,
yeah,
and age level and all of that included. So, so yeah, well, thank you for describing that, because I remember the first time you told me about that, because Tracy's also written an article on the Sped Homeschool website, if you just search Lexile on there. And I learned a lot from that article because I had no idea what a Lexile score was. So definitely.
Yeah, I felt like a gold mine when I found it. So exactly. It's been very helpful. Yeah. Another thing I found for struggling readers is to kind of branch out with different genre.
Oh,
and so,
yeah.
I know because one child really liked fantasy, I assumed another child would really like fantasy.
And then come to find out,
right? The reading challenges made fantasy just extraordinarily difficult because so much in fantasy is abstract. It's not related to anything concrete.
Yep.
And so that particular child did much better with your realistic fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Another child might really do well with the nonfiction stories,
right,
where there's not a plot line to follow. There's just the facts.
Mm-hmm.
And so just kind of mixing it up and seeing, okay, which genre are they doing well with?
Mm-hmm.
And having that freedom even within subject areas to say, okay, let's read a really good fiction story that includes all of the scientific knowledge and see if you can comprehend it a little better than just this encyclopedia I could give you, or just every child is kind of different.
Exactly. And it helps them explore different types of reading so that as they do get older, they'll know this is kind of what I like. You know, it's like my husband always picks up a biography and I'm like, oh, I can't do that. You know, I don't mind reading a biography every once in a while, but that's what he loves. And so, we all tend to gravitate towards different different things that we like, but we have to experience them all to kind of know what we like. And so that's a great thing to be able to do while you're homeschooling.
Yeah. And even those Lexile scores could be very different between genre.
Ah,
They might have a
yes.
much lower Lexile score with a nonfiction book because they don't have that storyline to kind of help them know what's going on. And so just being able to, again, that's the freedom of that literature-rich approach. You can mix all of those different reading levels between subjects and among subjects to kind of help your struggling reader.
Right. Yeah, that's good information. So, anything else about choosing books for struggling readers that we haven't covered yet?
I guess just a couple of books that I have really enjoyed for myself that have helped me, both in how to do read alouds, how to choose books for my kids, and then how to help with that expression and comprehension. Read Aloud Revival. I think it's Sarah McKenzie. No, wait. Yeah, Sarah McKenzie has been one that's, she has a lot of great tips in there for engaging your kids and even almost like a book match. Like if your child likes this book, then they might like this book too. Kind of a section of recommended lists in the back for different age groups. And then Know and Tell. Can't remember the author of that right now. But that's another good one. It's the Charlotte Mason method of narration, but she really has some great tips for even
Oh,
what to
yeah.
expect.
I think Sonia Schaefer shared that a couple weeks
Yes.
ago when I was interviewing
Yes.
her. So,
Yes.
yes.
It has so many helpful things of really breaking it down into stages, not even ages and grade levels of, okay, so if your child is here, here's what you can do for narration and comprehension
Oh,
and
neat.
then here's some creative ways to engage them. And then by the time they get to high school, here's what it could look like. But it was really eye-opening. So those are two books that were have been really helpful for me and kind of shaping how I view what we do.
Wow, yeah. That's great. So you had said you use ebooks.
Oh, yeah.
And so how do you do? I know I've checked them out from the library before, which I didn't know for a long time I could do that.
Yes. I don't know. I guess every library system is different, but ours has a couple of different ones that we can check ebooks out from them. And then, there's your iBooks, your Kindle. So different ones that offer that. Even the Bible, my daughter will read her Bible on her iPad versus she tends to that more. She has both, but she tends to that one more
Really?
because she can blow up the font and shorten the line length
Oh,
and
yes.
change those, colors and add the audio, with her ESP Bible app. She can add the audio and listen to it while she's looking at it. And so there's a range of things that help her, especially if you have tracking issues, to be able to customize some of those things, take some of that struggle out of reading.
Does it take a lot of work to set up those customizations?
No.
Do you have to do it every book, or is it kind of built into?
I'm not sure because she does all of
Really?
that.
Oh,
That's her.
that's
She
awesome
discovered
that she
it.
does
She figured out.
that.
She does it. So I don't mess around with it too much, but I know it's not hard. I don't know if she has to do it for each book or if it's just kind of the default that once she's set, it's set. Yeah, and maybe it's different with each format that you use, Kindle versus iBook versus something else. It could
Right.
be a little bit different.
Yeah.
So.
Awesome. Yeah, I know my son when he my brother has dyslexia too, and I remember just when they had the Kindle very beginning, just the black and white ones, that's all that were out there. But he's like, "Did you know you have this option here that it reads it to you?" And he's like, "Oh, really?"
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, it was like just a wonderful thing because struggling so much, mm-hmm. just any type of help that that they can have with technology, and to know that it's become so normalized now that mm-hmm. you know, it's not even considered assistive technology. People just use it to make reading easier for everybody. So
right,
but it's great mm-hmm. that that's available. So yeah. So what if a student has like multifaceted learning disabilities or unlabeled struggle? What would you advise parents to do in teaching this type of student? Maybe they don't know where to start, but want to use literature to teach still.
I think having that variety of options to choose from is going to be a good place to start. Don't limit yourself. Wide range of grade level, reading levels, mm-hmm. and kind of see what your kid tends to.
Right.
What are they picking? Mm-hmm. And being okay with that. I know there was one year yes. where we were studying Renaissance, and I just kind of filled the shelf and let my daughter kind of pick. Mm-hmm. And she gravitated to Da Vinci, and she really got everything I had on him. And so, of course, I'm going back to the library getting more because I think, oh, right. we've hit on something yeah. here. she read, you know, several things that were probably above her reading level because now she's hooked. She's engaged. She really
right.
And years later, she can tell me all of these things about Da Vinci because she really – connected with him. And there's been a few other things like that where just letting her kind of make her own choices and take a little bit of control
right.
Made it less overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And as I just watched what choices she made, it taught me a lot about who she was, what her reading level was, what her struggles were, what her interests were. And so allowing that element of choice was really helpful to kind of figure her out. And then working on one skill at a time. And again, I think this is where it's easy for us to think, oh no, you can't read that because you're at this reading level. But it's okay to use something way even below the reading level if you're going to teach a complicated concept.
That's a great point.
Let's get out a picture book if we're going to talk about this figurative language. Let's not get that high school poem, you know, to teach this.
Right.
Let's start with something simple, and then that harder thing is going to be a little easier to tackle.
Right, so you've choosing, embedded something that is a little more multisensory.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that way they're not tackling a challenge from their weakness. You're bringing it back down to a level where this is doable. This is manageable.
Yeah.
So whatever, that could be writing or reading, either one, but just which one skill are we going to focus on and bring everything else down so that it's just that one skill. Or if I'm going to push a reading level, then we're just going to enjoy it. I'm not going to try to ask hard questions about the story. We're just going to make sure we followed the story.
Right.
We got the main thing of what's going on. So, yeah, just narrowing things down and just taking that one skill at a time. I know sometimes I'm asked, you know, okay, we did this story together, and I asked my kid what they remembered, and I just get this deer in the headlights look. And
oh, yes.
Now what do I do? She didn't remember anything. And I think it's important, again, because it can be so multifaceted, to figure out, is this an issue of comprehension? Do they really not understand?
Right.
Exactly. Or is this another kind of a language disability where they're having a hard time? Maybe they know what's going on, but they can't figure out how to tell you
right.
what's exactly. going on and that expressive. And so the I don't know comes, but there's so many layers to that I don't know. How do you figure that out? And so I think slowing down and trying to decide, okay, instead of just panicking and thinking, ah, you know, I'm messing this up, to realize
Exactly. That's kind
So
of where
many
we go,
things
isn't
to
it?
remember.
It's all me.
And so again, having those options of, maybe they do get to build a Minecraft world about the book they just read. And that's their way of showing you they really got what's going on. Letting them make the board game that goes along with the story. And they can show you that they understood the setting, they understood what their character had to go through, but it's all on a tangible, that multi-sensory, they didn't have to say it. They had that visual to make those connections. Letting them write comics, the comic book method of sketch it, write the little blurb to let me know this was your favorite scene, you got something out of this. And so just having different ways, just going at it from so, if it's multifaceted, then you have to go at it from so many different angles to say, okay, which facet is going to work here?
And that's so important for our kids to be able to explore that when they're kind of in those elementary, junior high type years, because it gives them an idea of what they enjoy doing and how they express themselves. And I've seen that happen for my kids when they've picked careers. It has really moved towards things that they've gravitated towards all the way through their schooling. And it wasn't a surprise about any of them on what, what they've focused on. And I love when, you're talking about just as I've, studied or watched my child, and I love that, because so often we're watching the other stuff going on in our school. Are we checking the boxes? Are we, filling out the forms? Are we getting the grades? And but to watch them and to really learn who they are as that kind of unfolds in front of us, and that's just so beautiful to embrace as a homeschooler. That's why doing it for the long haul is so rewarding, because you watch that happen with your kids. So yeah, that's awesome. So for those of you that are watching, we still have about 9 minutes or eight and a half before we're done. If you want to add in a question at the end, we'd love that. But I'll just, is there anything else that you feel led to share, Tracy, as we're kind of winding down our time?
I guess one thing I would say is that this is obviously is not the only way, and it wouldn't even be something I would say this is the best way. And we've really enjoyed it, but there are so many different methods, different ways of going about teaching. But the one thing is, don't let your child's struggles discourage you from trying this.
Yeah,
Because sometimes you
that's
think,
good
well,
advice.
I could never do that because, and sometimes that'll surprise you that this, I mean, if I had known my kids struggled before, would that have colored our decisions and shaped them? Instead of just saying, oh, well, we're here, let's see how it goes.
Yes, exactly.
And really finding out that it was a huge blessing. So not the only way, but definitely one that if you're looking at, don't be discouraged to
Yeah,
try
try it
it.
out. Yeah, I think that's great advice, because yeah, we can say my child doesn't read well, so therefore literature is just not the way to go. And you have just shown us, in the last hour, that that's not true. And I hope that'll encourage many. But yeah, trying out different things. I mean, that's kind of what I did when we first started homeschooling. We tried a little of everything before we settled on it. And I kind of, but me as a homeschool mom had to like it too, as much as my kids, because I see you have a passion for this, Tracy, and that's why your kids embrace it, is because they see you're excited. And so this is something that you can go the long haul with as well. It's not like, oh goodness, we got another day of school. Right. And you know, so many moms just get into that mode of, well, this is what's best for my child, and so I'm just going to do it. And you know, it's your life too. The one thing that I always tell parents, you know, with Read Out Louds, my big advice is choose some books for yourself too. Mm-hmm. To build them in there, because you know, yes, I wanted to read all the classics I missed when I was going to public school. But sometimes I just needed something, and I was like, you know what, this kind of fits with what we're studying, so I'm going to put this book in here because I want to read it.
Yeah.
So you got to do that. Take care of yourself.
Yeah.
But, yeah. All right. Well, this has been awesome. So encouraging. Thank you, Tracy, for all the things that you shared. And again, all the resources and links that Tracy shared are in the description. I don't think I put your blog on there. I'll make sure I add that tomorrow when I update the YouTube video, so that people can know where to find you as well. Do you want to tell them a little bit about that as we're wrapping up?
Sure. Yeah.
What you blog about?
I blog at growingingrace.com, and just a little bit about our homeschool journey products that work for us. We do homeschool with a classical Charlotte Mason approach, and so how that works with our family and our particular journey, and how that's changed over the years. And so, so we share a little bit about that and the things that have worked for us. And
awesome. Yeah. Lots of good encouragement. And so you'll also find Tracy's blog on our blogging partners page on spedhomeschool.com. But yeah, so this wraps up our month of talking about homeschool curriculum methodologies. And next month, we are going to dive into IEPs, individual education plans, or sometimes called SEPs, student education plans. And do I really need it? Why am I doing this? How do I do this? But we're going to start off next week with a SPED homeschool team member, Dawn Spence, and the therapy provider for her daughter, who have worked together to write her daughter's homeschool IEP for years. And they're going to share how they do that and how they work together to set goals and then use them in therapy as well as in homeschool. And so we're going to talk about enlisting help, IEP helpers for your homeschool, and just how they've made that work. It's a really a beautiful relationship they have. And so I'm excited to have them on as guests to discuss that. And that'll be next week. But we also want to thank Maloney Method for sponsoring this episode of SPED Homeschool Conversations. You can find out more about their direct instruction reading program at maloneymethod.com. So thank you to them for sponsoring this. And thank you again, Tracy. It's been a delight. And
thank
good to
you.
See you again. And yes. And thank you all for joining us on another episode of Empowering Homeschool Conversations. We'll be back here next week at same time, same places. So we'll see you then. Have a great night, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Looking for ways to stay positive? Brighten your day with the free Story Behind podcast. Hear weekly short stories that showcase true joy, love, and hope. Listen now at lifeaudio.com or by searching for Story Behind wherever you get your podcasts.